Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 14 of Could It Be Podcast. If there's one thing that I'm grateful for after going through this whole experience, it's the community of women that I've met through social media, such as the Facebook groups, through Instagram, through people listening to the podcast and getting in touch. There's just this amazing amount of support for each other. And the very first co-host I have on this series of episodes is no exception. She is a massive advocate for breast implant illness. She shares her whole story, warts and all, from start to finish, how she's feeling now, how she's making her way through healing from breast implant illness. And yeah, I've just been really overwhelmed in a positive way by the amount of people who have reached out to me to be on the show, because we do want to share our stories. We want to spread awareness. We want to make sure that people who are going through this whole thing aren't on their own. So I would love to introduce my very first co-host to you. Her name is Yagleen, and yeah, she's just such a shining light. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to our very first fellow breast implant illness survivor, I guess we call it, thriver, Yagleen. So I put the call out on my Instagram a few weeks ago to see if anyone would like to share their stories, because I'm kind of at a point in my BII journey where I don't necessarily have a lot to share. So I thought this would be an awesome platform for people to come onto the show. And Yagleen was the first person to reach out to me. So welcome to the show, Yagleen. Really happy to have you here.
Thank you, Bianca. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to tell my story and create awareness.
Beautiful. Thank you. So first of all, I'd like to start with, where in the world are you chatting with me from today?
I am in the States, in Miami, Florida.
Amazing. So it's 9-ish, 9 a.m. there?
9 a.m. Yep.
Beautiful. 11:35 here in Adelaide. A bit of a time difference, but we made it work. Next question we'll jump to is, what is your breast implant story?
Okay, so my breast implant story started at age 21. I gifted it to myself for my 21st birthday. That was my gift. And I had, you know, I was super happy with my results. I got exactly what I wanted, and I was happy. I enjoyed them and had a great run from what I thought for many years. But now looking back, then I noticed that early on, I did have many symptoms of BII.
How did you find out about BII, and what were your symptoms?
So BII, I found out through Instagram. Mm-hmm. I was on my feed and a picture popped up with hands and implants on them, and that caught my eye. So I went ahead and read the caption, and the more I read, it was like a light bulb that lit up. And I was like, oh my God, this is definitely what's going on with me. Like, I had no doubt, zero doubts. And I started going down that rabbit hole in my research, and I just started researching left and right. I wouldn't sleep. I was just, you know, because I knew that this is what I had. And I wanted to find a doctor close to me. I wanted to find the best doctor close to me. And yeah, that you know, it happened fairly quickly from when I found out about BII to when I had my appointment scheduled and ready to go. Surgery didn't actually happen for months after, but I was very proactive at finding the information that I needed to jumpstart my journey. And my symptoms, I had 30 symptoms out of the, yes, out of the list that I have, which includes, I think, about 40 something symptoms. I had 30 from that list. Wow. And some I had not even known that I had until after I explanted. Then I went back to the list and I was like, oh, wow. I had this, didn't realize it. I had this, I didn't realize it. So some of them, I'm not going to, you know, go through all 30, but the most common one that I think we all share is fatigue, blurry vision. I had heart palpitations, sharp pains in my breast and armpits from time to time when I would do certain gestures, brain fog. I couldn't speak. I felt so dumb at times because my brain was thinking something, but it wouldn't come out. Like I could, it was just crazy. I actually had hair loss was a major one for me. Hair loss now, 11 months after, is when I'm seeing an improvement in my hair loss. Now I'm seeing baby hairs growing back and the falling out of it is a lot less. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of symptoms, low, super low libido, like non-existent. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I'm 39 now. So it, you know, I was 38 and I was like, there's something, this can't be normal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's young.
And I do have to say that one of the ones that I did check off after explant was inflammation. Didn't notice how much inflammation I had throughout my whole body. It was insane to see in the mirror, like 24 hours later, the difference in my face.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
It's crazy what we get used to, like, you know, the pain that I was in and the inflammation mm-hmm. that I had as well. Like, I was getting used to that slowly over years. And I sort of look back and maybe it was the last 5 years for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I just slowly got used to it. And I can't believe that that's something that we lived with for so long. Yeah. Like the quality of life that we had wasn't amazing, like for a while. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, I started my symptoms, looking back, I started my symptoms, I would say within the year of getting my implants, some of those symptoms. One of them was hair loss. I would put it off to dyeing my hair. Back then, I used to dye my hair blonde and I used to bleach it quite often. And I would just say, oh, it's just the products that's damaging my hair and that's why it's falling out. And it wasn't. It wasn't, because even after I stopped dyeing my hair, I stopped dyeing my hair completely over 2 years ago and it would still fall out.
Yeah.
So then another one that I was super painful for me, that I don't even know how I lived like that now, was canker sores in my mouth, sores mm-hmm. inside my mouth. And when I read up with my research, it's a sign of silicone intoxication. And I was like, wow. I was like, I would have about, no lie, 10 sores in my mouth at a time. There were times where I couldn't, it was hard for me to speak, to drink even water, nonetheless eat. It was really, really painful. And I haven't had any, only through some periods of detox have they come back, but not as bad as I did. And I lived, I know that I started very early on. So I lived like that for 17 years. And it's just like you said, it was like the pain that we would just put up with. And it's just keep living. This is my life, you know, and we just keep living. And it's like, wow. So that was one of the first ones that started along with hair loss. Then after I had my first baby 7 years ago, that's when my symptoms started, like the rest of them. I was like, wow, this is not normal. Like everyone kept telling me, oh, it's postpartum, your hormones, it's that, it'll get better. 5 years later, it didn't get better.
Yeah.
Then I had my second baby and it got worse after her. I had more symptoms and the existing ones got even worse. I was at the point where I was getting up and living because of my children. Because of my daughters, because I had to get up to feed them, to get them ready for school, because I had, you know, it was just things I needed to do as a mom. If I believe that if I wasn't a mom, I would have probably just been in bed for months, because it was so hard. It took all that I had to get up from bed. I was that exhausted. I had shortness of breath. I live in a two-story, and going upstairs, it was just like I had ran a marathon by the time I got upstairs. I couldn't breathe. It was horrible. Then that's when I was like, okay, something else is off. So there's something wrong. So I started going to my doctor and telling him, I have all these things. I don't know what's wrong. He started checking everything. Mm-hmm. Everything came back negative. Everything was normal. Perfect. You're perfect. Like, I feel like I'm dying. How am I perfect? Mm-hmm. He checked for Chris, he thought I had lupus from my symptoms, and he thought I had thyroid issues. That wasn't it. My hormones, they were a little elevated, but not to the, you know, not like very concerning for all the symptoms that I had. And by then I had already made the decision. I just wanted to know that there was nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
But I had already made the decision. Once I got my results back, I had already booked my surgery months ahead. So I found my doctor locally here in Miami. He is an amazing explant only doctor. He no longer implants. And that was very important for me because mm-hmm. I knew that I needed someone who believed in the pain that I was going through. And he does. He's a BII advocate, and he stopped implanting 5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. He stopped implanting 5 years ago because he believed that he was being a hypocrite, putting them in and then seeing his patients come back so sick and having to take them out.
Yeah.
So I found my doctor in March. I booked a consultation for July. That same day that I booked in March for my consultation, I booked my surgery and my deposit for December.
Wow. That's how long the wait was.
That's how long his wait was.
Yeah.
Luckily, when I went in for my consultation in July, they had an opening for October and I took it. I was like, I'll take it. So I had my surgery in October. But it was about 8 months that I had to wait from when I found out about BII to my actual surgery date. It was a long wait. I thought it was never going to get here. Because once I already knew in my gut, I knew that that was what was wrong with me. And once I knew that, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait. I need to get this out. I need to get better. I would read all of these amazing stories of all these women in these Facebook groups that their life has completely changed and everything is gone. And I was like, I hope that that's me. I would pray that that would be my outcome. And thankfully, I am blessed and grateful and thankful to everything that is exactly what my outcome was. I am completely free of all 30 symptoms now.
That's crazy. That is so amazing. So the next question is, what did you do to prepare for the surgery? So you did have quite a large amount of time between finding out about BII and booking the appointment in seeing the surgeon. What sort of things did you do to prepare in the months, weeks, days leading up to
it? I really started doing some type of lifestyle changes early on before I found out about BII, in process of trying to find out what, you know, if there was something else that was causing all these things. So one of them was process of elimination through what I consume, through my food. And in that process, throughout that 8 months, I started eliminating dairy. I eliminated any land animal protein. I still eat fish and seafood. Mm-hmm. Very occasion, like very spread out now. And just, you know, trying to be as healthy as I possibly could for the surgery, because I was so weak that I was scared I wasn't going to make it healthy enough for the surgery. So I tried to keep my body going with what I fed it. That's basically as much as I did. And then, you know, a few weeks before, I would ask around in the Facebook groups and things like that. What did I need for recovery? You know, anything that I needed to purchase, recommendations of things like that. And one of the recommendations that I found very helpful that I now recommend as well is using a pregnancy pillow to sleep after recovery. Mm-hmm. Afterwards. That for me was the best recommendation I got from everything else. I actually had to sleep propped up for 9 weeks. You know, everyone's different, but when I went in for my 6 weeks, because I'm a side belly sleeper.
Same.
So my doctor, when I went in for my 6 week visit, he was like, no, I still need you to stay on your back. Mm-hmm. Then he saw me at the 8 weeks. And then he's like, I still need you to be on your back for at least another week. So I went ahead and I did that. So I was on my back for 9 weeks. And that pillow helped me sleep so comfortable that I was at the point where I didn't want to give it up at that point. But my husband was like, okay, I need this out of our bed.
Are they like long tube pillows that you can kind of bend around? Are they pregnancy pillows?
Yes. Yeah. It's a huge, it's like almost like a U. It's a huge U pillow. And it was so, so comfortable. That mm-hmm. was one of my best recommendations and that I recommend now to anyone who asks. I didn't really get any, a lot of people recommended like getting bras and this and that before surgery, but I didn't get any bras or anything like that. It was just mostly my pillow, a few putting down pajamas because I didn't have any of those just to like hang out for the first few days. And that was pretty much it. I didn't really do much.
When it comes to your surgery, did you just have the explant or did you have a lift as well?
No, I had a lift as well. Okay. I had what he calls a mini anchor lift. Why he considers it a mini is because the anchor part mm-hmm. of the incision doesn't go all the way from one end to the other end of the breast. It's really about 2 inches long just at the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah. I normally hear when it comes to the post-surgery bras that they're more recommended if you're having a lift. So your surgeon hadn't sort of recommended that?
No, he didn't. He puts us in a bra and mm-hmm. we go home with, along with ACE bandages. So we go home with both of those. And that's the bra he wants us to use until he tells us the okay to switch off. And then after, for me, my personal, everyone's different, but for me, he asked me after that to go into a wired bra.
Okay.
He did tell me to do that.
I'm still not wearing a wired bra 3 months later. I'm yeah. using crop tops. It's amazing. Yeah. But my surgeon, she kind of just said soft crop tops. And she said specifically the one that I was wearing to my first appointment. But I tried wearing that a couple of weeks after the surgery because I did purchase some of the zip up ones just because mm-hmm. I wasn't sure how mobile I would be through my upper body. Just sort of be easier to zip through the front. And I tried the one that she suggested. And it was too much for me. So, yeah, it's a very personal thing and you've just got to go with what your surgeon mm-hmm. said. It's good to know.
I did have to sleep in like a softer sports bra for quite a while as well. Like he had me wearing, after the surgical bra, he had me wearing a sports bra 24 hours around the clock for quite some time. I was only allowed to like take it off to shower and mm-hmm. an hour after I showered, I was able to keep it off. But then right after that, after an hour, I have to put it back on.
Yeah.
And then I'd say like probably about 3 months, I went into the wire bra.
Cool. It's about time for me to have a look into
it. But now I'm like, I love being part of the itty bitty titty committee. I'm like braless all the time. Anything I can wear without a bra, I am wearing it.
I'm so jealous. I was hoping that would happen to me, but I ended up with quite a lot left. What have you found has helped you with healing after having your explant surgery?
For me, again, the diet. After my explant, I discovered the medical medium through a friend of mine who had come across him and said, I think you would be interested in this. And I got on his Instagram page, I went onto his website and I purchased his books. I was like, wow. And I love his protocols because they're very, very easy to follow, very simple. And I believe that that has made a huge difference in how I've healed or how well I've done after my explant, because it's all whole foods, you know, natural food that help you heal. That he has a book, it's called Cleanse to Heal. So what it does, it helps you cleanse your body to help your body heal. And it's not a detox, which is what a lot of people think that they need to do. I didn't do absolutely anything to detox my body.
Mm-hmm. It knows what to do if you're feeding the right
things. There's a lot of people out there who will try to sell you things like, oh, do this detox and this detox and this detox. That I was like, I'm going to let my body do its thing. I don't want to force my body to do anything and then make myself feel worse or, you know, make it not do what I, you know, affect what it was supposed to do on its own. So I just let it run its course with helping it, enhancing it with the foods that I was consuming. So I already was mostly plant-based, but then I started introducing certain foods like celery juice. Mm-hmm. on a daily. I've been drinking 16 ounces of celery juice daily for 11 months. And I feel that that has made a huge difference in everything for me.
I do see a lot of people in the BII community rave about celery juice. Yeah. And I noticed we've come in contact over Instagram. On your Instagram, you do share that you're doing like a lot of workouts and that kind of thing. When did you start doing those? When did you get clearance to do those after?
So I did get clearance early on. My doctor gave me clearance at the 9-week checkup. He gave me clearance. I was free to do whatever workout I felt comfortable with. But I personally wasn't there yet. Mm-hmm. So I started working out at 6 months, like working out in the sense of like actually work. I would walk with my children, with my daughters. We walk every evening, things like that. But like actual exercise that I hadn't done in years. And I was always a very fit person. But after I had my first daughter, I couldn't. I felt so bad. I could not go work out. Mm-hmm. Before having children, I was working out 6 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a very tough for me. Now I started 6 months after my eczema and I am loving it. I have so much energy. I'm not out of breath or like my chest is not super, super tight how I used to get. But the few times that I did attempt to work out prior. And it's just for me has also been one of those things that I've reintroduced into my life that has made such a huge difference in everything daily in my life.
Yeah. And how good is like being able to work out, recover normally and not have
normally. A joint. Yes. I mean, yes, we get sore. I get sore for a day, but I'm fine. You know, the following after that. Before the few times that I did try to work out, it was like I was sore for a week. And I'm like, how can I even do anything else? I could barely go up my stairs without like falling over. It's like, it's crazy. It's like recovery, your muscle recovery. It's things that you don't even think about. Like, how is it that these implants cause these things? Like, it's insane.
Yeah. I was like, what am I not eating properly? Like, what am I doing too much of? Like, because I was the same as you. Like, I would do a weights workout for a certain muscle group and I wouldn't be able to go anywhere near that muscle group for the rest of the week because I would feel like my muscles would snap. and I can, like, you know, I could do 2 days in a row of the same muscle now. I won't because I know, you know, it's better for recovery that I'm not doing that. But I can do a bike ride the same day as I do squats and I'm fine. I wouldn't have been able to do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It is.
Now, the next question is, tell me about your experience with detox waves.
Yes. So the detox waves, my detox waves started around, I believe it was 12 weeks. My first detox symptom was the body odor I was getting from my armpits. I smelled like pure onions. It was just like, wow. You were in a restaurant and they were cutting onions. That's exactly what I smelled like. It was, and this was coming out of the shower, fresh out of the shower. I was still wet and I would smell it. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. I got headaches, but thankfully my detox waves weren't, I only had three intense ones and they only lasted about 48, 72 hours max. But it was like really bad headaches, almost like a migraine. Sensitivity to the lights, tiredness. I was very fatigued. I just needed to lay down. I was very weak. I did have a few times low-grade fevers as well. I got a few canker sores come back, but they didn't last as long as they used to. When I used to get canker sores prior to explant, they would literally... they were like on regeneration. Like one, I had one, another one pop out 2 days later, then 3 days later, another one. And then that first one would disappear, but then two more will come in. It was like constant, like they were just constantly regenerating. So I really don't remember a time where I didn't have one at least in my mouth. Yeah. So now they come, they with my detox waves, they came and they were gone within that week. They were gone, you know, so it wasn't that long, as well as night sweats, really bad night sweats, really bad, like drenched, where I would have to like change the sheets in the morning every day because it was that bad. But that was it. I've had, you know, thankfully, I think a good recovery, a good detox waves, like everything has been pretty smooth, I think, for me, from based on what I've read and, you know, connections that I've made with other women and their stories, even women who I've helped after my explant that have reached out and I've helped them through it all. And they come to me and they're like, oh, what about this? I'm feeling this, I'm feeling that. And that, you know, some of them get really bad symptoms again, and they feel discouraged, you know, because a lot of them don't even think or know that it's a detox wave. They think they're not getting better.
That
they felt better for a few weeks and now it didn't work. Now they're back to zero again. And I'm like, no, it's a wave. It'll pass. It's lengthwise is different for everyone. Obviously, in the intensification of the symptoms is different for everyone. But it's something that does pass, and we do get over it. And it's just something that our body, like we said earlier, is doing naturally to get rid of whatever it is it needs to get rid of. Mm-hmm. And that's just part of it.
When was your last one? Like, how long ago did they stop?
Oh, no, the first one was about 12 weeks. I'd say the next one was like 2 or 3 weeks after that. And then after that, it was like 2 or 3 weeks after. And then that was it.
No more.
So it was very early on. I haven't had any detox waves in like forever, which is, I'm grateful. Like I said earlier as well, I think it has to do a lot with what I've helped my body do with what I've eaten, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Like, that's something I'm glad that I read about in the Facebook groups when I was researching it myself, because my doctor, she's an amazing doctor, not a big communicator. So, and I don't think she had really done many of this particular surgery before. So I hadn't heard it from her, but I had seen people talking about it in the groups. Mm-hmm. And she said it is different for everybody. Mine came on 2 weeks after the surgery, but I haven't had one for a very long time. So yeah, it can be so different, but I think, yeah, more awareness needs to be brought forward, because yeah, I've even had someone reach out going, oh, you know, this might be a detox wave that I'm experiencing, because yeah, she hadn't heard of it herself either. So yeah, definitely helping there. I think we did kind of cover this off a bit earlier, but you are 11 months post-explant now. And how can you say, like, you're feeling when it comes to those BIR symptoms that you had before?
Yeah, no, for me, I have lived a new life 11 months later. I'm truly living life now to the fullest. I have so much energy that one of the defaults of this is I have so much energy that I sometimes have insomnia now. Like, I can't sleep. I'm like in bed and I'm like, okay, I feel like I need to get up and do something. Like, I can't with myself with how much energy I have. But yeah, it's just life changing. It truly is life changing for me. It has been amazing. The best decision I have ever made.
Yeah. I'm so happy for you. Now, one big question I'd like to ask you is, if there was one piece of advice that you could go back and give to your younger self, back to 21-year-old Jacqueline, what would it be?
To block the noise and love yourself for what you are, who you are. You are perfect and you do not need anything other than what was given to you by the big guy upstairs. Mm-hmm. My reasoning for getting the implants to begin with was the noise that we have, especially here in Miami, where we're a very tropical place where everyone is wearing, you know, all these tiny, tiny clothes. And at 21 years old, there were certain things that I wanted to wear that just wouldn't look what I thought right without the size breast that I wanted. Mostly it was, you know, tube tops and things like that.
Yeah.
And the noise from others, like, oh, yeah, you should. Yeah, that would look better if you had, you know, bigger breasts and things like that. And that's what got to me, you know. So I feel that if back then at 21, I didn't listen to that noise and truly loved myself, loved my body for what it looked, and just now at almost 40 with a tiny A cup, I'm almost a double A, I feel sexier. I wear things now and I'm like, wow, this looks so much nicer. I have items that I wear it now and I was like, wow, I feel like this looks a lot nicer now than I did before. I felt like before it would look vulgar, like too much, like all the attention was just going to where I didn't want the attention to go to.
Yeah.
Versus now I wear it and I wear it with confidence. That's another thing. Like we need to teach young women to be confident, you know, not to like walk into a room and just kind of like shy out and like, you know, feed off of the energy in the room, be the energy in the room, change the energy in the room. You know, you are your own firecracker. Just be it. You light up like the sun, you know? So yeah, I would definitely just tell myself, love yourself and block that noise.
Yeah. Definitely. Miami sounds like it might be similar to the Gold Coast up here in Australia. It's very similar, similar kind of climate. And like when I'm looking through the Facebook groups, there are so many women in there looking for suggestions for surgeons in that area. So yeah, I can just imagine the pressure on people to look a certain way when you live in that area and people just encouraging it. Like, crazy.
Yeah.
So before we recorded, I obviously did my homework and I absolutely love your Instagram account. I love how candid you are and how much you share. Like you're even sharing, you know, what you're doing with your scars and you're sitting there chest out showing the world. I think that's so amazing. I can't do that because of my day job. But
thank you.
You mentioned to me when we caught up before, like you've had people reach out to you saying thank you for sharing and that you're helping them. How can people find you and follow along with your story?
Yes, thank you so much. I decided I needed to do that to help others. And my goal was to at least just help one. And I'm so blessed to say that I've helped so many already. And that's my goal of that one has been reached and beyond. And my purpose is there. They can reach me on Instagram through Yaglin_Medina. That's YAGLIN_MEDINA. And yes, I just like to keep it real on there. Like you said, I am chest out. I wanted to be raw. I wanted to let them know this is my experience. This is what it looks like. Is it perfect? No. Is it you know, is it pretty right now? No, but see the involvement. You can see I really did capture everything and I've saved everything on there for that reason, so that women are able to go back and see, okay, there's hope. This is where she started. This is where she's at now. Look at her. Look at the difference. Yeah. And not just physically, like that. I'm not talking about like how they look physically, just how I feel completely.
Yeah, it's definitely like you can tell, like you're absolutely glowing. I'm seeing how much you're getting out and about and doing, and that's stuff that we probably wouldn't have been able to do before explant without the phase of recovery. So thank you for everything that you're doing for women out there with experiencing the same issues. And thank you so much for reaching out to me. When I put the call out, like I said, you're the first one, you jumped on it straight away. I was suddenly nervous. I'm like, oh my God, someone wants to talk to me and be on this podcast. So I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me. And I hope that you have many more women tell their story on your podcast. Thank you. This is a great thing you're doing. Get the voice out there.
Thank you.
This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldbiipodcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.